VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Anna Mateo, Susan Shand, and Brian Lynn. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will bring us the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Anna Mateo.
People play the lottery with the hopes of winning money. Sometimes a lot of money. Your chances of winning are small, but the payoffs can be big. It takes a lot of luck to win. But for a woman in Massachusetts, winning the lottery involved more than luck. It involved extreme honesty and kindness. Leah Rose Viega accidentally threw out a $1 million lottery ticket. But thanks to the kindness and honesty of the owners of the store where she bought it, she eventually collected her winnings. Fiega bought the $30 Diamond Millions scratch-off ticket in March at a convenience store in Southwick, Massachusetts. The store is near her workplace, and it is named The Lucky Stop. She told the Associated Press on Monday, "I was in a hurry on lunch break and just scratched it real quick, and it didn't look like a winner." So she handed it to the store owners to throw away. The ticket lay in the store for 10 days. "One evening, I was going through the tickets from the trash and found out that she didn't scratch the number," Abhi Shah, the son of the store's owner, told a local television station. So he scratched off the number. It was a $1 million ticket. Fiega is a regular customer, so the family knew immediately who had thrown it away. Shaw went to see her at work. Fiega said he came to my office and said, "My mom and dad would like to see you." She told the young man that she was busy working. But he said, "No, you have to come over." So Fiega went to the store, and that is when the family told her the news. "I was in total disbelief," Fiega said. "I cried. I hugged them." In January, Fiega nearly died from COVID-19. She said recovering from that was like winning the lottery. In American English, we also say we hit the lottery to mean we have had some good luck, any type of good luck. Now, after winning $1 million, Fiega says she feels doubly lucky. Speaking of the family, she is still in disbelief. "I mean, who does that? They're great people. I am beyond blessed," she said. The store gets $10,000 from the state lottery company for selling the winning ticket. Fiega said she gave the family some money to thank them. She is saving the rest for retirement. I'm Anna Mateo.
Thank you.
Republican Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida signed a bill this week that seeks to punish social media companies that remove conservative ideas from their networks. Whether the bill violates the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment remains unclear. The First Amendment prevents government from limiting the freedom of speech or of the press. The new law will permit the state to fine large social media companies $250,000 a day if they remove the account of a statewide political candidate. There is also a fine of $25,000 a day if they remove the account of someone running for a local office. It takes effect July 1st. DeSantis said some of the social media companies were using power over our population that really has no precedent in American history. He also accused the companies of wanting to suppress ideas. It is unclear if Florida will be able to enforce the law. Federal law prevents internet companies from being taken to court for removing posts, and federal law always overtakes state law when there is a conflict. Section 230 of the Federal Communications Decency Act says internet companies cannot be taken to court for removing material that is obscene, violent, or objectionable, among other things. Republicans have long accused companies like Twitter and Facebook of censoring conservative thought. DeSantis pointed to the decision by Twitter to ban former President Donald Trump while still allowing Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei to have an account. You remove the President of the United States, but you let Ayatollah Khamenei talk about killing Jews. That is wrong, DeSantis said. Twitter did not answer a request for comment. Facebook refused to comment. NetChoice, an organization that represents technology companies, criticized the new law in a statement. This bill takes us closer to state-run internet where the government can pick winners and losers, said NetChoice Vice President Carl Sabo. He added that the new bill was meant to punish social media companies because of a belief that they are anti-conservative. The law will give Florida's Attorney General the power to take social media companies to court. It also allows any individual who believes he has been treated unfairly to take the social media company to court. The bill targets social media companies that have more than 100 million monthly users. These include Twitter and Facebook. Lawmakers, however, said websites of amusement park owners like Disney and Comcast would not be subject to the law. The new Florida law will most likely not hold up against the Constitution, said Computer and Communications Industry Association President Matt Schroers. While DeSantis said his new law protects free speech, Schroers said that an internet company that does not want to have Nazis or other objectionable people on its service is exercising its own First Amendment rights. Florida Democrats opposed the bill. They defended the right of social media companies to control information on their platforms. Democratic Senator Audrey Gibson said in a statement that the bill was passed to please Trump. Other Republican-run states are considering similar bills after Facebook and Twitter banned the former president for violating their standards. She said the companies take responsibility for what appears on their services and have the right to do so. I'm Susan Shand.
The United States plans to launch new rules designed to protect pipeline companies against increasing cyber attacks. The action follows a cyber attack earlier this month that shut down a major U.S. fuel pipeline. The outage involving a 9,000-kilometer pipeline system led to temporary fuel shortages in some places in the eastern United States. U.S. officials say new cybersecurity regulations are expected to be issued this week by the Transportation Security Administration. The TSA oversees the nation's network of pipelines. The Department of Homeland Security said Tuesday that TSA officials had already begun working with private pipeline companies on ways to identify and prevent cyber attacks. One of the new regulations will require the companies to report cyber threats to the federal government, one official told the Associated Press. Another rule is expected to require pipeline operators to complete a self-examination of their systems for possible vulnerabilities to cyber attacks. Mark Montgomery is with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He is also the former director of the congressionally supported Cyberspace Solarium Commission. Montgomery told the AP he sees the expected requirements as a good step forward in the fight against cyber attacks. He added that such regulations need to be put in place for non-pipeline companies as well, so that all our national critical infrastructure is at a higher level. At a news conference this week, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas spoke about the ransomware attack that shut down the Colonial Pipeline. He said that kind of attack is one of the greatest cybersecurity threats that we face in the United States. In a ransomware attack, online attackers infect the computer systems of organizations and hijack data in a way that leaves it unreadable. The attacker then demands payment in exchange for returning the data to a usable state. Colonial Pipeline in Georgia said it had paid a ransom of $4.4 million to regain control of its data from the cyber criminals. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has linked the attack to a Russian-speaking criminal group known as DarkSide. Suzanne Spalding is a cybersecurity expert with the Center for Strategic and International Studies based in Washington, D.C. She said many companies are still not taking steps to protect themselves. There are two kinds of companies in the world, those who have been hacked and those who haven't detected it yet, she told the French press agency AFP. Spalding noted one problem is that many countries cannot produce enough computer workers who are trained to deal with serious cyber threats. This shortage drives up pay rates, making it difficult for many organizations to employ quality workers with the right skills. Private cybersecurity companies have been helpful to organizations facing threats and can also help prevent new attacks. But a new report suggests that publicizing anti-ransomware measures can also help cybercriminals. The report was published jointly by MIT Technology Review and ProPublica. It details how Romanian cybersecurity company Bitdefender announced in January it had found a fix to help companies avoid ransomware attacks by the DarkSide group. Bitdefender said it had discovered a flaw in the ransomware that DarkSide had been using to freeze computer networks of American and European businesses. But by bringing attention to its fix, Bitdefender also let DarkSide know about the flaw, which it was able to quickly repair. The next day, DarkSide declared, "Special thanks to Bitdefender for helping fix our issues. This will make us even better." The fix was quickly confirmed when DarkSide carried out a series of new attacks, including the hijack of Colonial Pipeline's data. The joint report notes that two other cybersecurity experts had also discovered Bitdefender's flaw a month before Bitdefender. But those researchers did not publicly announce their finding. Instead, they began secretly reaching out to possible victims to offer help. I'm Brian Lynn.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Today, on our National Parks journey, we travel to Utah. The Western state is home to several of the most popular national parks in America. Today, we travel to the eastern part of the state. We visit a park filled with strange and beautiful colored rock formations. These formations have been created over millions of years. They curve and narrow and balance on top of one another. Some are extremely thin. Others have huge cracks, yet remain standing. Many of the rock formations seem to ignore the rules of gravity. Welcome to Arches National Park.
Arches are formations that look like half a circle standing up. Sometimes they create a curved bridge between two large rocks. Arches National Park contains the most natural rock arches of any place on Earth. The smallest arches are less than a meter across. The largest, called Landscape Arch, measures 93 meters from one base of the arch to the other. Water and ice, extreme temperatures, and many layers of salt underground created these rock formations over hundreds of millions of years. The huge amount of salt is the remains of an ancient sea. It covered the area around 300 million years ago. As time passed, the area filled with material left by rivers. Rocks buried the area. This created pressure on the underground salt bed.
Salt, under pressure, moves easily. It is not stable. The thick cover of rock created pressure on the salt. It moved this way and that, making the rock layers above move as well. A soft rock called sandstone moved upwards. It met with other harder rocks. These sandstone structures continued to grow for about 150 million years. Scientists say water is the most important element in creating arches. Water destroys the chemicals that keep rock particles together. The rock breaks as the water freezes and expands. Then the wind blows away the loose rock pieces. Erosion from wind and weather slowly removed layers of younger rock. Most of the layers of rock seen today are pinkish red in color. The rock is called Entrada sandstone. Experts say that most arches seen in the park today developed within the past million years. But the land formations continue to change slowly over time.
But sometimes change happens quickly. In 2008, a formation called Wall Arch suddenly collapsed. Thousands of tons of sandstone crashed to the ground, creating a thunderous noise. It is not easy to predict when arches might collapse. Wall Arch was not as thin as Landscape Arch, for example. Wall Arch also did not have visible cracks. But many tiny breaks within the stone made the arch weaker than others. Some formations within the park look as though the gentlest wind could send huge pieces of rock crashing to the ground. These are called balanced rocks. The most famous of all is simply called balanced rock. This sandstone rock is the size of 3 school buses. It sits on top of a tower of darker rock called mudstone. The formation is about 39 meters tall. This bottom rock narrows sharply where it connects to the sandstone rock on top. Scientists call this a bridge. Mudstone weathers much more quickly than sandstone. One day, far in the future, balanced rock will no longer be balanced. Just as Wall Arch did, balanced rock will collapse.
The names of the rock formations give you information about their appearance or structure. The most famous arch within the park is named Delicate Arch. Delicate means easily broken or damaged, but it can also mean very carefully and beautifully made. Delicate Arch is a huge freestanding arch. It is 19 meters high and 13 meters wide. Humans have called it many different names throughout history. The name Delicate Arch first appeared in a 1934 article. Scientists described it as the most delicately chiseled arch in the entire area. Of the 2,000 stone arches within the park, Delicate Arch has become a symbol of the state of Utah. It is among the most famous geological features in the world. Many of Arch's famous rock formations are easily seen from the single road that goes through the park. But Delicate Arch is not visible from a car. Some visitors choose to walk to two viewpoints. But even from the viewpoints, Delicate Arch is still more than a kilometer away. Many visitors choose to hike up to see the famous arch. The trail is 5 kilometers. It is the most popular hike in the park. The walk is difficult and steep. It offers no shade. The sun is extremely strong. In summer months, the temperature can rise to 40 degrees Celsius. Park officials tell hikers to take at least 2 liters of water with them. In winter months, ice and water can make the sandstone trail extremely slick.
Along the way, hikers pass a wall of ancient animal drawings created by the Ute Indians. These are called petroglyphs. Petroglyphs exist throughout the park. They are a reminder of the long human history in this harsh environment. Before reaching Delicate Arch, hikers must walk on a long and narrow rock ledge. The trail is often crowded with people, but most say the heat and crowds are worth it. Delicate Arch stands alone above a natural sandstone bowl. It rises up dramatically from the flat land that surrounds it. On one side of the arch, the sandstone gently twists. On the other, a severe crack cuts through the narrowing rock. Those who hike to its base appreciate and understand why it was once described as delicate. Most visitors to Arches National Park would agree that there is no other place quite like it in the world. It is quiet and dreamlike, unpredictable and violent, old yet ever-changing. A trip to Arches is like visiting another world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.